Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Ohio State University South Centers in Piketon, Ohio. I'm Kimberly Roush, a program assistant here at the center. I support the Business Development Network team and focus on marketing and social media and cooperative development areas and provide support also for the biz team, whatever needs they need. We broadcast here at the South Centers to provide information to you and the community about business development and agricultural resources to connect you with those individuals that have the necessary research information and business expertise to help you succeed in business and agriculture. We broadcast every Thursday from 9 to 9:30. We're working out our schedule currently, so that may change a bit here and there, but currently, that's what we are working on. The programs that we offer here at the South Centers in business development, we offer small business development, manufacturing, cooperative development, international trade development assistance. In agriculture, the research that's done here, we have aquaculture, horticulture, soil and water, and bioenergy. Today, we also have a guest moderator from OSU South Centers, our director, Tom Worley. Hello, Tom.
Good morning, Kim. Thanks for introducing me a little bit, and it's a pleasure to be here and work with you this morning. I think that we have a guest on the program this morning that I'm looking forward to hearing from as you interact with her. But before we get into that, I just kind of echo a couple of the things that you said, that we're here at Piketon and have been now, this is our 25th year of doing research and extension work on behalf of the College of Food, Agriculture, and Environmental Sciences. Of course, we're part of that overall main campus college. We represent the Ohio Agricultural Research Development Center and OSU Extension. And as Kimberly has already said, we specialize and go more in depth and kind of backstop our extension offices and other extension specialists within the university here in the fields of aquaculture and horticulture, especially in berries and other specialty crops. One that no doubt a lot of folks have heard about more recently is hops, and there's just tremendous interest in growing hops for use by the many microbreweries and home brewers that are growing in numbers here all across Ohio. We just have great response to those programs and the research that we have going on here as part of that overall specialty crops program. And then the third program is the soil, water, and bioenergy resources program. You know, these are the really the natural elements that we depend upon for all of our other programs in agriculture. It takes soil, it takes water, it takes management, sustainability, all those things, and especially kind of a new word in this area is soil health. And you can appreciate what that might mean when we compare it to our human health. You know, the soil is really the basis of life. That's what sustains us all as human beings. It comes from the soil and interacting with the sun, of course. But we need to sustain that and try to keep that health and try to even improve and regain some of the health of the soil that has been depleted over the years. But we're learning and trying to convey this information out to our clientele. Our business and development team that Kimberly has already zeroed in a little bit, you know, is very active in trying to help people succeed in starting businesses or expanding in a new business, and do lots of workshops, do lots of one-on-one consulting under an agreement with the Ohio Development Services Agency for SBDC, Small Business Development Center, work here across 10 counties in southern Ohio. And so we're really pleased that we can have a guest today that kind of fits into that overall business and financial aspects of our program, and I think Kimberly wants to get to the introduction of our guest.
I know with all these programs, you probably juggle a lot of the finances and trying to get everybody what they need along the way. So our guest here today can help with information about financial literacy. Today we have Hope Roush. She's a financial literacy leader at Ohio Valley Bank. Good morning, Hope.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're excited to hear all about financial literacy. How did you, what's your background and how did you get involved in the financial literacy program?
Okay. Well, my story is a little, probably a little unconventional to this path. It's something, I actually went to the University of Charleston in West Virginia and I graduated with a communications degree. And I started my career working primarily in journalism. I worked for some of the local newspapers around here, but I had always wanted to do something in public relations, communications, and I was looking, you know, that next step. And I saw that Ohio Valley Bank had an opening, and I applied, and they were able to, they told me about this new position that they had. It was called Financial Literacy Leader. And it was in their communications department, and they explained a little bit about it to me and said, you know, that it was a new position. And I had always wanted to do something in teaching as well. It was just I ended up pursuing the communication side. So as they explained it to me, I thought, well, this kind of would be a way for me to actually, like, live out that dream that I had also had to be a teacher. So I got started. I kind of jumped into it, not exactly knowing what to expect. I fell in love with it. I think financial literacy is very important. It's something that I wish I had had when I was younger, because I do a high school program, which we'll get into. And the more that I've been with this job, the more passionate I've been with this cause, and I'm really glad that Ohio Valley Bank sees it as a priority, because I think it is important for people to know about their money, know, like, how they're spending their money and financial topics. So that's kind of the road that led me there. A little different, something I probably never, when they say, like, how do you see yourself in 10 years? I don't think that I would have envisioned this, but I'm happy that this is the path that I've taken.
Very nice, very nice. Tell us more details about the program itself.
Okay, well, we have several different programs that we do. Like I said, I am, my title is Financial Literacy Leader, and we cover, our mission basically is to, you know, reach out to all different age groups in the communities that we serve. So I've worked with preschool age children, elementary children, we have middle school, we have a high school program, and then I've even done things with young adults and senior citizens. So some of the programs that we do, one of them we do our Adventures in the Classroom program featuring the Sensibles. If you went to, like, our website, under the Kids tab, you could learn a little bit about that. And there's mainly two lessons that we like to do with them. It's teaching kids about credit is one of them. And then the other one is teaching about savings. We call it Adventures in Saving. And those programs that I do for the elementary schools, they're kind of like a one-day thing. And I go into the schools, and these kids, and I'm talking, you know, third, fourth, fifth graders, we work with them, like for the savings one, for example, they learn to fill out a deposit ticket, like something that some grown-ups might not even be familiar with. For the credit one, we do a lesson where they have to decide, would it be better to wait until they have enough cash to pay for an item, or should they go ahead and use their credit card, but we make them calculate, you know, how much extra they're going to spend because of interest. Our high school program is one of our, I think, one of our best programs that we do. I mean, I think they're all great, but the high school one, I feel like that's really the age where you're aware of your money. It's that step right before you're going out into adulthood, and it's actually something that we do monthly with the schools. I travel to all the schools. We're at six schools currently. It's called OVB Bank It, and it's a year-long program. Basically, it works as a game, almost a game format. They have $100 in what we call Buzz Bucks, and their goal is to make as much money as they can by the end of the year. And they can do that by, they can open, and it's all pretend, obviously, but they can open like a savings account. They can put their money in a CD. But there's a catch, too, because we make them draw what's called a real life card. So they might have to pay a bill. They might actually make some money from that. So they really have to manage their portfolio, and then we incorporate that with different lessons on financial topics. Like, we do one, credit versus debit. What are the differences? We talk to them about credit scores, credit reports, and usually I'll like to bring maybe somebody who works in the bank and, like, a loan officer, for example, for the credit lesson. I like to bring them along with me to kind of talk about that because that's their field of expertise. And it's a year-long program, so I think that's really great that we do that. And then our senior citizens, right now we're doing the American Bankers Association just came out with Safe Banking for Seniors. So I've been presenting that, but sometimes I'll talk to you, like if a senior citizen center calls me and they tell me what subject matter they want to talk to, sometimes we'll just kind of put together something to meet their needs that they want to talk about. So I know I'm like talking about a lot of things really fast, so I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. What do third and fourth graders, I mean, why are they, what are they wanting to save up for? That interests me.
Oh, goodness. I usually start that question. I ask them, I say, like, okay, guys, because we'll talk about the differences between wants and needs. Obviously, you need to put your needs before your wants. And then I let them kind of raise their hands and tell me certain stuff they want. You'd be surprised. I don't remember, like, they want phones. They already want cars in fourth grade. They're like, I want to save up for a car. I'm like, well, you know what? If you start saving now, it might be easier to get that car when you turn 16. But the reason why we like to work with them at such a young age is I think it's just like anything in school. The younger you are to know the importance of things like this and saving your money and making smart decisions, we think that will translate to you being a smarter customer in your adulthood.
Sure.
Hope, do you have any sense in your work in the schools as to the kinds of financial decisions? I mean, kids, I have a lot of nieces, nephews, grandkids, you know, that I write checks to, you know, on birthdays and that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. I don't know what other sources other kids might have, but I know there's a decision has to be made, you know. I presume that's in conjunction with the parents and so forth. But do you have a sense, is that kind of where kids get started with knowing about some money that really is in their name and so forth?
I think a lot of it is, you know, how their parents have managed their money. So that's one of the reasons, too, why we like to get into schools and do the programs, and I like to put it in that real-world setting because, yes, you can learn from reading a book about it, but when we make them have to manage that pretend money, and they get so into the game because there are prizes at the end of the year, I've had kids be like, hey, Mrs. Roush, if you give me $20 in Buzz Bucks, that's what we call the pretend money they use. They're like, I'll give you like $10 in my cash I've got here. And I just laugh that off. No, please don't give me your real money for the fake money in the game. But I think by putting it in that real world situation to them, that it actually makes them think. We do a budgeting lesson. I think that's one of the most eye-opening ones we do, especially like with the high school kids, where it's called the bean game, so they're on like a 20 bean budget, and they have to choose, you know, what type of house they want to have. Do they want to rent an apartment? Do they want to still live at home? We have to, for like their meals, do they want to go out to eat every night, cook a couple meals at home? What kind of car do they want to have? They're going to have to get insurance on that. And cell phones, that's the big one. They do not want to give up their cell phones ever. Internet. And we make them sit there and really think about, like, how much money they spend. And I think it's eye-opening because I think a lot of kids don't realize, like, you know, when their parents are paying for all this stuff, like, exactly how much things, you know, is extra. Like, your internet's not just going to come with your house. You have to mm-hmm. pay for that. That's an extra charge. Even things like, you know, garbage service, you're going to have to pay for that. So many things that I think it's just truly eye-opening for them, and that really gets them to think about it. And I think that's one of the great reasons why we do this program is we want kids to be aware, especially that high school age where they're close to getting ready to maybe go off to college or start their first job. We want them to be aware of, you know, where their money's going, what they need to do. Because they say the younger you start saving your money and investing in your future, the better off you're going to be as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the idea of the game. That's
yes.
Wonderful to learn.
They get very competitive.
Right. Do you also incorporate the game part into the adult education?
Not necessarily. They don't really, because the bank aid, where it's a year-long program, like they'll do, we give like classroom winners. But I have done little quizzes with the adults before that I think they kind of have fun with. And it's actually the same one I make the kids take. It's for like one of our lessons in identity theft. We have a quiz that's how identity theft savvy are you, where it's true or false questions, and then it is possible for them to end up in the negatives, you know, if they don't exactly answer the questions how, you know, they should. And I think they get a kick out of that. Like, I think it's eye-opening as well. But I do try to make it pretty relaxed with it. Usually it depends on, like, how, if, like, you know, especially the senior citizens, how they want me to present the program. I try to kind of gauge off what the directors want me to do. But I do try to do some, you know, fun things with them like that. It's like little icebreaker activities.
Is there a component?
And they get just as excited as the kids do.
Yeah. In your introduction, Hope, I think you mentioned about using credit and credit scores, and credit cards come to mind. And can you comment on how you might approach that within the context of the various age groups in terms of using a credit card wisely?
Yes. We our one program that we do, Adventures in Credit in the elementary school, we talk a lot about, a lot of the kids are aware of what credit cards are. They've seen their parents use them, but the way I'll explain it to them is I say, okay, a credit card, you know, it's basically a loan. I say, you know, when you borrow a book or a game from your friend, you're borrowing it, you're supposed to give it back, right? And they say, yes. And I say, obviously, if you have one friend that borrows something from you and they don't give it back to you, are you going to let that person borrow something again? And they say, probably not. So that's kind of how I start it with them. I really try to, you know, make it understandable for them. And we'll do, they have a calculation sheet and everything they do. We bring them the calculators and they actually calculate the cost of credit. So we say our superheroes, which are the Sensibles that I talked about, need to buy a new bike. They found one on sale. They have this much money, so it's going to take them this long to save their money. They could use their credit card now. How long is it going to take to pay off their credit card if they just make the minimum payment? How much extra are they going to end up spending? So that's how we do it with the elementary age kids. And then with the high school kids, we do with our credit lesson, you know, we explain a little bit about credit cards. And then we also talk to them about credit reports, credit scores, and how that can affect you in so many areas of your life. And that's stuff that I just had absolutely zero clue about when I was in high school. And our loan officer that usually comes with me, they do a really great job breaking that down for them. And then we also do our credit versus debit lesson. That's another one we do with the high school program, because obviously debit and credit cards are different. And we'll, you know, we do a little bit of a lecture with them about that, but then they also play a game there. It's called our fly swatter game, and I actually bring fly swatters and signs, and I'll read a question, and they get to not run. They want to run. Quickly walk, and whoever hits the sign first and is correct, they'll win, like, a point for their team, and then their prize is usually extra buzz bucks to add to their folder. But we really try to explain to them, you know, with credit, that it can be a good thing, too, if you use it wisely, because obviously the bank needs to, you know, they need to have a history on you if you can repay your debts. It's a good thing to establish credit. Our loan officers will explain, you know, get a small credit card without a fee. Use that maybe for your gas or your groceries. Pay that off. And that's going to show that you have a history of being able to pay off your debts. And that's a good thing, because I feel like most of them, what they know about credit is only the bad from the news. So we try to, you know, talk about the positives of credit as well.
Sure. Great approach. It sounds like it's working for you.
Yes. I think they really take a lot from it, quite honestly.
We want to also congratulate you on your recent honor by the American Bankers Association for community commitment. Can you tell us about that award?
It is an annual award that they do. It's the Community Commitment Awards. The American Bankers Association does them, and they have different categories. And we actually submitted our Adventures in the Classroom program, the elementary one featuring the Sensibles. We submitted that last summer. And then I found out I won, I think, in the fall. And I wasn't like the main winner, but we won like one of the awards for it. And it was truly an honor. I think it's a great program. And I think it's definitely award-winning. I'm not saying like me personally is award-winning, but the program itself, I think, is just very unique. I feel like when I tell people about my job and I explain to them the stuff that I'm teaching elementary level kids, they're always really surprised, like, wow, that's something grown-ups don't know. And I say, yes, that's why we like to start it at a young age. So that was quite an honor, and I was really happy that we were recognized for that.
Wow.
Well, again, congratulations.
Thank you.
We just have a minute or so left. Is there anything else you want to add? Is there something we left off along the way, or maybe contact information if banks or schools out there want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, I guess my question would be, do you want to expand the reach of your program into other schools beyond where you are now, Hope?
We're always looking to expand. I mean, it started, you know, like for the high school program, for example, it started at one school. We're now at 6 schools. And there is a way to contact me if you go on our website. My email address is on there, and that's usually the best way to reach me. My number is on there as well. And a lot of the times with the schools, I've kind of developed a relationship with the teachers, and we keep in touch. But usually, like, a lot of people will contact me, and they hear about the program. So absolutely, just send me an email, give me a call if you'd like me to come into your school. Or it's not always just schools. I've done stuff with 4-H camps. I've even done, like, church groups. I just was recently at a church group of adults, and we talked a lot about, like, identity theft and scams that target the elderly. So it's not limited to schools. I could do stuff for your club. So definitely reach out if you would like this. I think that personal responsibility is a big thing we try to teach with financial literacy all across the board. And that'd be the one thing I'd want people, that I like people to take from the program, that I try to stress to all the kids. Like, you need to be responsible for your own money, and you need to know where it goes, what you're spending, what you're doing with it.
Great. That's great.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing today with us.
Well, thank you for having
me. You on again.
Yes, absolutely.
Tom, to finish up the morning, let's talk about activities here at OSU South Centers.
Okay.
I understand you have a big one coming up. We
Tim,
have a big one.
Well, I think it's all of us, yes.
Yep.
I think that we are in our 25th year here as OSU South Centers, and we are celebrating specifically through the year, but especially on September 15th. We have an open house plan for the general public to come out to our location and really see the facilities, meet all of our staff, all our program leaders, our program assistants, all of our research assistants, everyone here that makes things work here at South Centers on September 15th. That'll start in the afternoon, about 2:30 in the afternoon, and we're going to be here later into the evening. So that folks that get off work and would like to come out, and we'll have some refreshments available and have our tractor and wagons hooked up to take tours out to the various research plots that we have. You'll see the hops growing. You'll see the grapes growing. You'll see, I think we have some pumpkins that are going to be at that point should be pretty good sized. We'll have various corn and soybean plots as well. So just a variety of things. We'll introduce you to our aquaculture program, see some of the yellow perch that we focus on. We're working also with bluegill and largemouth bass. We'll show off the Endeavor Center, our business incubator, building that was opened here about 11 years ago and supports the development of new businesses and the expansion of existing business. So it's kind of the invitation is out to the community to come from near and far, even though 25 years seems like a long time to us relative to, you know, a lot of businesses that have been in existence for over 100 years, and OSU itself since 1870, you know, we're kind of still relatively young and new kids on the block as far as our college is concerned even. And I know that in spite of being pretty visible out along Route 32, you know, a lot of people in the local community really don't have a really a good understanding of exactly what happens here. And part of our vision for that day is to get those people here to actually see and meet us and have a better understanding of what OSU is trying to accomplish here at the corner of Shyville and U.S. Route 32. Actually, State Route 32, if I correct myself.
It's a wonderful place. Don't miss out.
Okay. We invite everyone that is the least bit interested to come out and take a look. I think before that, we have several field nights coming up, if we have a minute to talk about those. The one that's specifically nearby is happening next week on Thursday night. We're having a soil, water, and bioenergy field night, and we expect a good group here. If you haven't heard about that yet, you're more than welcome. I think that we're going to start at 5 p.m. I think we're providing some sort of a light supper as part of that program. I think we have support from some of our research funds that there's no cost for registration even on this one. And we invite folks to come out and enjoy that. Again, as you might expect, we're going to focus on those topics of soil health. And that's July 28th is the date for that soil and water field night. And then in early August, I know we have a berry field night coming up, and then about mid-August, and I don't want to say the date on that because I'm just a little unclear. Mid-August, let's leave it at that. We're doing a hops field night as well, and that's an opportunity to come and go a little bit in-depth on our hops program. So those are two or three things that are coming up here in the near future. And this is typical at this time of the year. This is a great time because the crops have matured or are getting near maturity, and you can really see what has taken place during the growing season. And we've been blessed with extra rain here, it seems, this summer. So, you know, our grass is staying fairly green, and the crops have done relatively well. And, of course, part of these crops have irrigation systems installed. So you can kind of see the approaches that we use. We use some hoop houses, plastic-covered frames for some of these crops. And so I think there's something that would interest most everybody that decides to come out. And we welcome you to those programs and events as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. We also have a couple of Business Development Network events coming up.
Good.
We have a Ohio-West Virginia Food Hub Network meeting and site visitation. We've scheduled that for August the 17th, mm-hmm. and it will be located in Davis, West Virginia this time. Mm-hmm. We will be taking a site tour of the Highland Market. The cost of the event will be $15 for lunch. And then to register, go to go.osu.edu/foodhubnetwork August 16th, 2016. And you can register for that event and get
one.
A little bit more details.
Yep.
So that's something that's coming on August 17th. We also have an event on August the 11th here at OSU South Centers in Piketon. It is a, let's see this. Ooh, I didn't write the name down. It is an energy event, seminar, that you can find out more about renewable energy for businesses and other benefits and resources relating to renewable energy.
Right. I think 9 until 12.
9 to 12.
On that date.
On August the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to register for that event, contact Jen Dunn at 740-289-1605. Let's see. We also have, you mentioned, Tom, about being out in the fields and, mm-hmm. and all the activities that are going on out there. I've been doing a day-to-day picture kind of
all
event
right,
around
right.
the field. You can see what's going on
yep.
On our Facebook page. So if you want to like that page and follow us, it's OSU Business Development Network, and you can see some of the activities and some of the faces here at OSU South Centers. If you need more information about the South Centers, you can check us out on the website, southcenters.osu.edu.
Right.
And then the phone number to call if you want voice-to-voice
right.
contact,
right.
740-289-2071.
Excellent.
And that's it for today. I'm Kimberly Roush, and this
Tom Worley,
yep.
great to be with you.
we're happy that you stayed with us today, and look forward to talking and sharing more next Thursday.
Okay.